Okay. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. So, tonight we're going to try to break into another of the barriers, another way that the mind blocks our awareness of the beyond. Everybody here couldn't possibly be reading this book unless you had some sense that somehow, some way, there was a beyond. There was a beyond. It's one of my favorite spiritual path words, beyond. It says so much in a single word. Somehow, some way, everybody here on the spiritual path knows that there's something somehow beyond what your eyes see. A beyond. And yet, the material world, the present space, continues to show up so strong, so quick, so perfect, so reinforced. Even your body seems to respond to this world and make you respond to it. Yet, somehow, some way, you know that there is something beyond what your eyes see, your ears hear, you could touch and feel. Some way, there is, and you know it. We're going to take together a look at some of the passages in A Course in Miracles. And, you know, some of what we're going to read tonight is what I call the fine print in A Course in Miracles. You know, love it or hate it, but A Course in Miracles is pretty stringent, pretty rigid in some ways about, hey, you know, nobody's going to save you. It's really bad news. You actually don't need saving. That's really good news. There is a block to the awareness of love. That's bad news. That anything could block love is bad news. This block is there because of your power given you by God. Oh, that's good news. It's very good news. That means that it only exists as you would have it be. A Course in Miracles addresses this very conundrum. I love how thorough this book is for my spiritual path and all the different ways it helps me. All the different books that are sewn into this one, all the different messages and spiritual awakenings sewn into one book. And this is one. We'll look at it tonight. So somehow we have to sort of get into the space to hear what A Course in Miracles is pointing to. And that's kind of a challenge, but we do really well with this group. So tonight, what we're going to do is take the first couple of minutes here, and we're going to think about a single concept as we normally do. And for those of you who haven't done this before with me, this is a personal inquiry you're going to make. It's different next week. It was different last week. But try to, as much as you can, find out where your mind is on this topic that I'm about to mention. And just relax into it. Go quiet and see what your Holy Spirit talks to you. Because this is your next step on your personal journey. Every time you quiet your ego and see what the Holy Spirit has to say, it's your next step. And it'll likely be an easy step to take when you trust that this is leading you toward light. So, let's take another step in that direction together. And what we do is we will sit for 5 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, I'll say a few words to keep us on track. And then when that's up, I'll ring a bell, and then we'll go around and we'll, if you wish, each will contribute and just say a few words about what you experienced. Tonight our focus is for you tonight, not for tomorrow, not the big picture, not something for you to write a book about. This is just tonight. Where is your head? What comes to you when you simplify your mind and ask, what is reality? What is reality? So, let's just relax with that one. Think about it for a while. What is reality? What does that word, reality, mean? What does that word even mean, reality? Why does it exist in the language? Why do you want reality? How do you know something is real to you? What's the measure? What's the quality that says this is real? What do you think you could do with reality? Why would you want it? And now, just the last minute or so, if you would, take this last minute to think of a single word or a phrase or a single comment that you can distill from these thoughts to offer to the group that describes an aspect of reality. Just a word or a phrase. What's an aspect of reality that came to you? So, you know, you've heard this before, it's been said. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Without some direction, you will follow random roads and find yourself in a variety of places. And as we learn in the workbook, some of them are quite conflicting. So let's find out some of the aspects of reality that we would share with each other. Tim, we start off with you. Can you tell me something that came to you? What's a quality of reality for you?
The thing itself. Real means to reflect back to whatever the original was. That which truly exists as opposed to that which is imagined or what might be preferred or mistaken to be as truly existent. So I think of, you know, the medieval Latin, belonging to the thing itself.
Belonging?
Yeah.
Belonging to the source.
Itself. Yeah.
That's cool. Interesting. Isadora, what's a quality of reality? How would you know reality? What's good about it?
I just wanted to ask a question. A couple of times I get a notice that I'm supposed to unmute myself. The host wants me to unmute myself. Why is that? Do you know?
Well, sometimes I mute the whole crowd, and then other times I'll unmute the whole crowd, and that's probably when you get that. Like just now, I unmuted everybody when we came out of meditation. So maybe that's when you got it. You have
Okay.
Permission not to cooperate. You have permission not to unmute yourself if you see that.
Oh, good. Sometimes if I need to snort or something. You know?
Yeah. I'll hear some noises in the background while somebody else is talking or me, and sometimes I'll just quiet, or Julie will quiet everybody.
Okay, good.
So we can hear you speak, for example. She might be.
Right.
So give me an aspect of reality. What's reality? What's something about reality?
Well, what I wrote down is reality is the only thing that matters or lasts. Reality transcends the temporary. Reality is love. Immense, huge, boundless love. I want reality because it is the only true sustenance there is. And I know this is real because it poises above all the idols I've made and makes them disappear into the nothingness that they are. I want reality because I have spent my life chasing shadows that have no substance, and now I can no longer tolerate nothingness when I could have the golden treasure of kings.
Only thing that lasts. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, man, what's something about reality that you can tell us?
For me, the reality, I have this perfectly, but I can't think of three things at once.
No problem. Anyway, we'll get the best. The best will come out.
Yeah, hopefully. For me, reality is... From the book, I get the idea that the reality is the promise that if I continue on my path and am determined and keep going, I will find a place of peace where all I will see is love. And that's all I will experience. That's all I will know I am.
Mm-hmm. Good. So reality is coming and it's love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on your path. I like that devotion. Jacqueline, tell us something about reality that occurred to you.
Well, right off, I just had this flash. I asked the Holy Spirit to show me something about it. And I thought, reality, and then I saw that light was in the word reality.
That's cool.
And that's what reality, it just was light. That was what I got. And then after that, I tried to take a journey. I wanted to know, I asked, could I be shown the original separation? Ah. And then I need to go, you know, take more time probably to meditate on that.
Ah, nice entrance. I love the way it drew you into that. It drew you into your own awakening. I love it. Did you know, in A Course in Miracles, light is a code word for understanding?
Didn't know that.
And it's kind of nice because you said, all right, light then. Reality means I would... And to me, you know, that means you would understand. He said, right away, it's like, what happened here? What is this original separation really about? That's a great inquiry. And A Course in Miracles will not let you down with giving you a wonderful understanding of separation. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there is good. There's a lot of good. And there's a lot of ugly. It depends on how you see it. That's part of what we're going to do tonight. That's good. That's interesting. Donna, what occurred to you about reality?
Well, my thinking mind overthinks, but I started out with reality as like consensus reality. I was thinking of your question as like reality is one thing and what's real is something else. And so my mind went to reality and I thought, well, I'm creating what I usually think of as reality by first my sense perceptions, and then I name everything. Something in me names everything. And as soon as I start naming it, it creates this thing. And why do I like it? Because, you know, it creates cause and effect, that I can have an effect on something. You said something about why do I like this? And it's like, you know, I felt kind of sad and a little bit like fear was coming up. Like, I like this because I can name it and I can do something with it. And then I was thinking how what's real, it came to me then. It was like, so I'm washing the dishes. And if I'm experiencing what's real, it's like my senses aren't doing the same thing anymore. I can't quite explain it, but it's like the exact opposite. It's like I'm not doing anything anymore. Things are just happening, and what's real then becomes like it's just love. It's like, well,
this is great, because where you started out is you said you observe, and then you sort of acknowledge what you're observing by giving it a name.
Yes.
By naming it, it makes it specific.
Yeah.
And you create a world, a reality. So therefore, I would distill what you said in the beginning. Your first message to us was, mm-hmm. reality is a world where you can interact and be. Yeah. 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 Oh, that's good. Yeah. There's a lesson that talks about naming things. You probably remember that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cecily, tell us what occurred to you on reality.
Well, I remember, Andrew, you've talked about this before, the difference between what's real and what's true. And so my immediate reaction was that reality is just kind of this fabrication. It doesn't actually, it's not actually real. It's just kind of the illusion and part of what we made up. So it's real, but it's not true. And that idea of there being like two different worlds, you know, there's the material, physical world of illusion that we interact in daily, and then there's the like the truth of spirit. And what is reality is completely subjective to each individual based on their perceptions. And so, like, I'm not terribly interested in it at this point.
Mm. More interested in the truth? Nice. Great, that's great. You gave us the two sides of the coin. Reality and truth. Interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's from you. You gave it to us.
You gave it back to us. And they're significantly different. They're experienced with different parts of you. Very much. Beautiful. Ross, tell us about reality. What occurred to you?
Well, maybe I didn't understand that you were differentiating truth and reality, but
oh no, that's not it. It's whatever occurred to you about word reality. That's what we're after.
So the first thing was a lot of times going into meditation, I'll do just God is, and then I kind of realized, well, you know, I don't really know what that means. So I went with eternal peace, because that's something that I feel like I experience peace. So it's something that's real.
In contrast, if you're not in what feels like eternal peace, it's not real. Eternal peace is your definition of reality. That the quality of reality would have eternal peace. And anything other than that doesn't qualify.
Yeah, and it's always there. You can obscure it, but
yeah,
as we were doing last night with the thumb.
Yeah.
You can obscure it, but it's always there for you.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's pretty real.
Excellent. Good, good. If you don't know where you're going, any path will get you there. Very good, very good. Julie, what's something about reality? What occurred to you?
I was with Donna and Cecily, that I was thinking about reality within the world, or what I think of as reality within the world. And I thought about like when you realize something, so kind of going from that same root, like you sort of bring into being. And I thought, well, what's the impact of that? And I just suddenly, it felt like four walls just go up around me. The limits of when I just bring things into being as I see them from the ego. And I'm over that. So, so I'd rather see truth. And the second piece for me was just, to be able to play in the sandbox. In other words, like, this world will throw chaos, but, like, it doesn't have to be chaos to me. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you are definitely, your path includes going up to the edge and looking over. That's one of the traits that you've exhibited, is that you will push right up to the edge and look over and say, am I jumping? Yeah, good, good. Jill, what's something about reality that occurred to you? And you'll have to unmute yourself, unless I can do it.
Got it. I kind of was stuck on the whole idea of what is reality.
Yes.
So many of you are so eloquent in that room. You also get A's on your essays. And mine was more just like, what is reality? Is it perception? My perception is my reality, but is that really reality?
Good.
And that's kind of where I was stuck, is like, so many times you could look at the different parts of the elephant and be convinced that that's the reality. And I guess if I was to say in a more spiritual way than a ego way, it would just be that I think reality is what feels real, what feels right, even if it's wrong. I just never really know.
Yes, yes, that is the fact of it.
Yeah.
That what feels right, like with the, you and I talked about this once, didn't we, about the picture of the elephant and the Indians, and each Indian is touching a piece of the elephant, and well, you know, reality is like a tree trunk and he's got a hold of his foot. No, reality is like a broom because he's got a hold of his tail. No, reality is like this huge hose. The other guy's got a hold of it. They're all blind, the blind Indians.
It's a great parable.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, so isn't that the bottom line, Jill? Reality is to you whatever you think it is.
Right. But that's why we study the Course, because it teaches us to look outside of our own perception of what is truly real, which is an ego and a spirit and a higher vibration.
Yeah. And if you think there is a higher vibration than what you're experiencing, then you would continue to look for it.
100%, because higher vibration just feels better.
It feels better. That means you've actually had a taste of it somehow, some way.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do with the workbook.
About transcending from 3D to 4D to 5D right now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what our planet's doing, and what we're called to do right now is to elevate our vibration to higher, and it so resonates with the Course that way.
So that means that you think there's something beyond, because you are on a spiritual path. If you can take the material proof, projection makes perception. Well, if it seems like a broom, it is a broom. But you know, brooms just doesn't cut it for me. I think there's more to life than...
Right.
And so, in fact, that's exactly what you were pursuing. And that is going beyond. That's a spiritual path. And to me, that's what makes you capable of having spiritual awakenings, is you're willing to look beyond what your senses deliver as the only reality.
We all have that lesson, as hard as it can be, right? We all find that our perceptions didn't end up being necessarily the reality or what was even in our best interest when we have the benefit of time.
And Course in Miracles works as much as with what feels bad as what feels good. It says, look, if you're having a problem with your brother, if you're in an argument with somebody and you think they're attacking you, let's look at that together, says the Holy Spirit. Let's see what attack really is. Oh, it can change the whole dynamic when you're no longer a victim of the world, indeed. But that would be looking beyond what the ego would show you. So good. I like your honesty and your simplicity that reality is what you think it is. You know what you behold it is.
Right.
Jason, what came up for you? What's reality to you?
Well, I thought long and hard. And I thought it was Top Ramen and Haagen-Dazs.
Together or one?
Different planets, different days. No, I was thinking, to be very humble, I don't know what reality is. It'd be really assumptive of me to even describe it, because it's so nefarious. I don't even know what I'm doing here in this realm, in this body, let alone imagine what reality is. I mean, can my mind take in reality? Not in the current state, so I don't really know what it is. I can't really articulate it.
Yeah.
It's a question.
Well, one of the required states of mind for A Course in Miracles student and teacher is open-mindedness. So I have no problem with your saying, I'm not even sure I can hold reality in my mind. But then somehow you look at this book and you get some sense of grounding. True? A Course in Miracles gives you some grounding?
Well, it's a direction.
It's a direction even. Good. Some hope? Yeah. You know, I think Jason is mask shaming us all. See how he's wearing a mask and we're not?
Yeah, I've got to go down. I left my food on the sidewalk and I made stories up and the elevators aren't working because I think somebody just died in the building. So you had to call anyway. So I'm waiting for the elevators to work.
But you're not trying to, you're not trying to shame us all into go getting our mask.
Oh, no, not on.
Proving we have one nearby.
Is that better?
Judy, what came up with you? What came up with you around reality?
Well, I thought I was doing fine until somebody along the way said, oh, it's entirely different from truth. And then Jill made me finally feel better because she's, that it's okay that I don't know. Anyway, so I finally kicked into an experience over the last 2 weeks, largely because of you guys, that got me able to to not react to aggression. Just simply to not react. So 2 weeks ago, a woman, I live in a retirement community and we have to sign up for using the pool because of COVID, one person at a time. And because of so much skin cancer, I needed it 6 a.m. as she apparently did. So we're both vying for it. It was super aggressive. I won't drag you through the moments that were so stressful that it kicked me into a 4-day Crohn's disease attack so bad. So the next week, I got the opportunity to choose again because they switched it to allow two in at the same time. Mm. And guess who shares the 6 a.m. which is great.
Your teacher.
My teacher, who ironically has the same first name as my oldest sister. My dad never worked in my lifetime, started drinking at 5 a.m., and so I had no dad. Mom, the sole support of five, working hairdresser 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So my oldest sister was my mother, my ruler, my boss, mm-hmm. to the extent that you know, every lesson came, and they were usually not fun ones. Mm. So,
sounds like reality for you flexes, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to hold on too much to this reality what we're witnessing. That's the side of the coin you were staring at with your recent experience.
Well, what I did was to take it way back to the early lessons where nothing in this room has meaning. My mind is what's giving it meaning to. So the next time when I had the opportunity, I decided to use the lessons I've done and think, how can I convert this to love, not hate?
Nice.
And I wrote her an email that said, I noticed we're signed up at the same time. I didn't want to make it that she had to respond. And by saying, which side do you want? I said, I notice that, and I usually swim on the right side, the north side, mm-hmm. but if you want it, just let me know, wave your hand.
So, Judy, what I'm hearing is that reality for you is free.
Oh, well, I didn't have a Crohn's attack. It was so...
Made it so rather than being a victim,
yep.
Your reality is, as Course in Miracles tells you straight up, you choose. And yep. That's the day you will have.
Absolutely.
Nicely done.
Oh,
nicely done.
It was just huge.
Yeah. When you realize that you can choose your reality and that's what you'll have, the world starts to become fun.
Yes. Good. Oh, definitely. Can I ask you one question in terms of where do you come down in the fact that I was thinking truth and reality were the same thing? Someone else said they're the opposite things. Where do you come down?
Well, for me, it's handy for me to recognize, you know, to separate the words. They're just words. They're symbols of symbols twice removed from reality. You know, what you mean is different from it. But the way I like to say it is that reality is what we see, what we witness, what we think is true, what you experience. And if you're coming from an ego perspective, reality is this world.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here. Let me check again. It's still here. One more time. Right? But reality, turns out, leaks for me. Reality in this being in this world.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be true because it constantly, consistently changes and it's made up. I'm making up everything as I see it, as the book teaches me in the beginning. And so I like to make a difference between reality and truth. And yeah. we'll look at that a little bit tonight, how the course taught me that.
That helps a lot. Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Tim. You know, the Course in Miracles has two levels that it teaches exist. One, this is Miracle Principle 12. One makes the physical. The other creates the spiritual. Miracle Principle 12. Yeah, yeah. And a miracle is where you see that distinction. It's wonderful. Thank you. Deborah, tell us, what's something about reality for you? I think you're muted. Yeah. Okay.
My perception in the moment.
Oh, nice. There it is.
I'm just going to leave it right there.
What you see is what, how you see is what you see. What you see is how you see. What you see is what you get. You spot it, you got it. It's a very circular thing, isn't it? Yeah, your perception in any particular moment. Perfect. Yes. And were we to be able to perceive, say on a higher level, higher vibration, somebody said, if you could see with what the Course calls Christ vision instead of the ego's judgment, if you could see, if your present moment was perceived from Christ's vision instead of the ego's judgment, it's a different experience. So that your present moment becomes informed by spirit instead of by materialism. That's our path. Those are the two worlds. One of them enlightenment, the other one enlightenment. And it's as simple as that, and there is no neutral. Good, good.
Andrew, could I say something?
Please.
I wanted to just say a little bit more about what I felt I was shown. I was thinking reality too, like what we experience and see. I was kind of thinking of what I can see and sense. And when I was told light is reality, and the word reality is light, that what I felt like I was being told is everything is light, even all that I see. And then I was feeling like I wish I could see the light. I mean, that's the vision I want to have, even when I'm looking out at this world. So that was part of also what
that a girl.
I was shown.
You bet. That's part of the course, and we'll read some of that tonight, that the perspective from which you look is how much you can see. In other words, if you look with fear, you will see the limit If you look with spirit, you will see eternity. But you'd have to want to.
Yeah.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Good, good, good. Okay. Okay. For me, the pictures have all changed order quite a bit here. So, Cecily, did you speak?
I did. Yeah, I already did.
Miley, tell us about reality. What happened to you? Give me something about reality. You there, Miley? She probably...
Okay, there I am. There I am. Okay. Right. I have a phone. I'm not in a Wi-Fi zone, so I just turn it off most of the time. But when you asked the question and I closed my eyes, it was interesting because I didn't go into any talk. I just went into this sort of rich silence. And then I sort of just kept deepening. And I realized that that was the perspective for me this evening. And the word was presence.
Presence?
Me, a certain and being watching the mind do what it does. And to me, this is reality, is this other place of being present without sort of in the world but not of the world deal. And then I was listening to, I think it was Cecily was talking about truth and reality, and realized there's a little word game going on, you know, of definition, because to me reality is truth. That when we look at the material, get all absorbed in the material world and the ego games and whatnot, I don't consider that reality, though I recognize that I do buy into that, and I get lost in it. We all get lost in it as if it were reality.
Yeah.
But to me, it, you know, as if it were truth. To me, reality and truth are almost synonymous.
Well, you know, don't they converge? As you go into your awakening, as you start to allow the absolute nature of truth to be your personal reality, your dharma, then whatever could be considered as your experience and the truth converge, don't they?
Right.
Like what you said, you started out saying that you just went silent. You went into this deep silence. You could only be described as presence.
Yeah.
You bet. That's what it would mean to leave this world behind. This world of time and space and of differences, to leave that behind for even just a moment. Nice.
Well, and I've noticed that one of the principles of the Course in Miracles happens for me when I presence for people, when I don't get involved in the story, or say there's an argument going on or whatnot, if I don't get involved,
yes,
I bring a different quality into the mix,
yes,
and things shift. And I didn't do it, but there's a presence that comes through that affects, and it's
somebody knocking on my
and wonderful to watch.
I got somebody knocking on my front door. I'm going to go turn them away. Could you speak among yourselves for a few minutes?
Grab a mask, Andrew.
Yeah, oh, thanks. Really?
We want to keep you around.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, close. There it is.
Donna, you cut your hair.
So I'm curious, do you folks feel like reality is a variable thing, or is more synonymous with truth?
For me, reality is truth. It's love. Isn't that what the Course teaches?
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that lasts.
I always have to pay attention as well to whether we're saying true, T-R-U-E, versus truth with the T-H at the end of it. So for me, something can be true, like it's day outside right now, and half the day it's true and half the day it's not true. But something that has truth to it, like God is love, is something that is true all the time. So I make that semantic note to myself, and then whether that's got anything to do with our bigger discussion or not is up to you to decide. But I don't use true and truth interchangeably. They have different meanings for me.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of the things that Andrew asked is, what do we want reality? And that's the question that I keep on when I'm reading the book and doing my lessons is, do I want to know this? Do I want to understand it? Do I need to know what reality is right now? Because for me, sometimes the answer for that for me is always yes. And the answer is, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah, can I get an upgrade? Is it possible to upgrade my reality? It's always a good question. Good, good. Okay. Okay, thanks, Cecily. All right, and Cecilia showed up. Cecilia, were you there for the meditation? Oh, Cecilia.
I'm here.
There you are.
Hi.
What does reality mean to you? Give me a quality of reality for you.
Oh, it had so many meanings to me, but I think one of them is that when I, you know, when I, it's something that I feel for me, and sometimes when I go into a space that is really beautiful and everything is interconnected, like if I go to a beautiful place in nature, I get a sense of reality because everything is interconnected.
Aha!
I have this sense of awe.
There's interconnected, harmonious.
And inspiring. I think it's, you know, something that inspires.
Uh-huh.
And makes me, you know, just feel the interconnectedness of
what's the opposite of that? What's the opposite then of inspiration? The opposite of interconnected?
I think it would be separation.
Yeah, the jarring, working hard to make things fit together, struggling, falling apart, coming together.
Yeah.
Would be the opposite.
The opposite would be that. That's
what a nice contrast. What a difference of two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that interconnected one for sure. Stephen, tell us something about reality.
Well, I'm thinking nothingness, like no thingness. Like the ultimate neutrality. And then we walk around in the world in a body with a brain that sometimes seems like it just does its own thing. Mm-hmm. And our experience of what we then refer to as of reality is sort of a culmination of life experiences, upbringing, education, interpretations of the world. We just sort of make up, and you all said it in some form, like our perspective, the world occurs as the way that we view it. Whereas reality is those moments which we've all had where, like, in the midst of a holy instant, you see the actual reality, no judgments, no assessment, just purely what's so. without everything that we at the moment.
Aha! A pureness. A pureness of just what is. Yeah, very distinctive. It's truly different, isn't it? You know, if something's made up, or if something is, if you're busy trying to analyze it, you're trying to work your way into feeling it versus just what is. Like a holy instant Stephen mentioned.
Isn't it true that when you have one of those holy instances, there is no argument against it? There's no alternative way of looking at it.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't need to be argued or it's self-proving. Yeah. Yeah. Good, good. Okay, everybody turn to workbook page 237. Workbook page 237. It's lesson 130, so at the top of the page it says 130, but at the bottom of the page it says 237.
If you're in the book.
If you're in the book.
As opposed to a Kindle.
In a Kindle, it's just going to be lesson 130 for my...
Yeah, got it. Thank you.
Okay, I'll keep an eye on you.
Get more light.
And Tim, would you begin for us?
Yep. Here we go. Perception is consistent.
What's the name of this lesson?
Oh, I'm sorry. The name of the lesson, my apologies, is It is Impossible to See Two Worlds. And I might add at the same time. Perception is consistent. What you see reflects your thinking, and your thinking but reflects your choice of what you want to see. Your values are determiners of this. For what you value, you must want to see, believing what you see is really there. No one can see a world that his mind has not accorded value, and no one can fail to look upon what he believes he wants.
Thank you, Tim. Hey, how many people, if you know, you can show a hand or just wave at the screen. There's only, 15 of us now. We can just wave at the screen. How many people have read the book Journey Beyond Words by Brent Haskell? Okay. So for everybody else, all other 13 of you, you have to write this down. You have to get this book. They're out of print. Jason, you've seen it? Journey Beyond Words? First syllable.
I've heard it.
You've heard of it?
Heard it. Audio tapes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, right. Yeah, it's available on audio as well.
And Kindle.
And it's on Kindle?
iPad, yeah.
Oh, really?
Some places it says it isn't, but I kept looking and I found it.
Well, that's amazing, because it's been out of print for a long time. The guy who wrote it's gone. So, Journey Beyond Words, Brent Haskell. It's one of the very few books that I recommend around A Course in Miracles. It's the same author. You'll start to read this book, and you'll go, oh my God, this is Jesus. This is the same person behind that Helen heard. It's got to be. The phrasing, the intent, the messages. And what he does is he says, basically it's like sitting down with Jesus with a cup of coffee, and he's saying, you know what, you've done A Course in Miracles. There's a couple of things in the workbook I'd like to extend a little further. Here's what I really meant. I really wanted you to get out of this a couple of these lessons. And one of the vectors that he raises in that book is values. He wants you to appreciate that your values are your values, and what you choose will drive how you see things, your motivation, based on your values. He really hammers this home. Journey Beyond Words, Brent Haskell. It's a fast read. The pages are not full of words, but it's super powerful. Julie, you want to say a few words about Brent Haskell's Journey Beyond Words?
I would only say it is a fast read in one sense, but I found myself unable to go quickly because I would be so blown over by the way in which it is the same author, but the way in which it's written. And I went from like laughing to crying, like just things really struck me in a certain way.
Thank you. Yeah. It's so personal. You know, the wording is different. It's almost a poem, and it's just right to the point, again and again and again. Yeah, it's a real gift. Okay, good, good. So, values. Whew. Luann, would you read for us paragraph 2? And now he's going to give us a contrast of why you can't do two things that save two worlds at the same time. Thanks, Tim. That's a good point. At the same time. Go ahead, Luann.
Yet, who can really hate and love at once? Who can desire what he does not want to have reality? And who could choose to see a world of which he is afraid? Fear must make blind where this weapon is. That which you fear to see, you cannot see. Love and perception thus go hand in hand, but fear obscures in darkness what is there.
Beautiful. So now you have sort of opinion is revealed about what Jesus is, Jesus' opinion of the world that we've made. It's hate, essentially. And the world that you're denying yourself is love. Just one word summaries of the menu. That's the menu. Hate, you know, and hate doesn't have to be all as extreme as that sounds. She's just simplifying it down to a single word to try to sum up what allows separation to continue. What, in fact, reinforces separation so that it continues is this idea of hate, of division, of right and wrong has a power over you. That's hate. That's right. Hate and guilt, fear, they all come from the same place.
Can I make a comment here?
Yeah.
Because I jumped on the word reality, of course, in the second sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Who can desire what he does not want to have reality?
Bingo.
So, and then a couple sentences later, love and perception thus go hand in hand. So true perception, seeing reality as it is love-based. Is what I'm hearing.
Yes, right.
Sort of goes, reality is true.
There we go.
Realities, that's not really real.
It's not a subtle difference we're talking about. This is not a subtle difference. And also, it's not a fixing of this world that you're in now so that you can have love. This is you're really careful. Look at the, just for a second, turn back a page and look at the lesson title of the previous lesson. Just so you know what we're doing with A Course in Miracles. So important in your awakening is that you would actually be able to go beyond this world of division and separateness where there seems to be individual things cut off from the whole, and you're one of them. This is the healing that must occur, right? In order for you to awaken from separation and the ego. Must. And look at 129. It says, beyond this world, I see with my eyes. Beyond this world, I see with my eyes. Beyond this world, there is a world that I want. Oh. Knowing your true nature will always seek peace and love. Yeah. Good, good, Miley. It's not subtle. It's not subtle. And it's dramatic. And the more you taste, remember we talked about a holy instant a little earlier? The more times that you actually let your mind go to rest in a holy instant versus angst in an unholy instant of ego strife, the more holy instants you allow yourself to have. The more you will reach for eternity, the more you will want to go beyond the world of separation. Yeah. It goes that way. It just naturally goes that way as you return home. It gets more, home becomes more familiar the closer you get to it. Yeah, yeah. Good, good. Okay, so now we're up to Jacqueline. Would you read for us paragraph 3?
Okay. What then can fear project upon the world? What can be seen in darkness that is real? Truth is eclipsed by fear, and what remains is but imagined. Yet what can be real in blind imaginings of panic born? What would you want this? What would you want that this is shown to you? What would you wish to keep in such a dream?
So it's touching on the purpose of the course on page 1. Removing the box to the awareness of love's presence. The eclipse. The eclipse. Truth is eclipsed by fear. Hey, how's that so easy? Isn't truth stronger than fear? How come truth doesn't win out and just blow fear away? Why not? Why is truth eclipsed by fear? Isn't truth stronger? What?
Free will.
Free will, yeah.
Free will. Huh. Yes. Say it, Julie. Tell us. Julie, tell us. Tell us how this works. Isn't truth stronger than fear? I mean, wouldn't love always blow away fear? I mean, why am I not living in love everywhere all the time if love's so much better than fear? What? Why not? Julie, teach us. I mean, isn't that true? Isn't love bigger and better?
Yeah.
Isn't God love, right? When we're, I mean, is God all powerful? Then why isn't love everywhere all the time? Why? Julie?
Well, the power, we used the one power of God effectively to separate, to choose to be separated. So there is only one power because there is not duality.
There is not duality. That's it. Turns out there aren't actually two forces, one bigger than the other, call it love. Of course it's saying, well, if that's true, love is, fear is bigger, right? Because fear can eclipse love. So fear must be stronger. If you believe in two powers, then according to this sentence, fear is stronger than love. It's one of the things you have to wake up to. One of the truths of oneness is that there are not two powers, one competing with the other. There's not good fighting evil. You must wake up to this happy news. It's a whole different way of thinking.
Andrew, the phrase that you said many moons ago that helped me with this, that one is, which is also fighting words, but that God didn't make this world, we did.
Yeah, that's right. It comes with a package, huh?
But then you see why, how you're using that power, you know, and why it feels so real and why we get so tripped up in it. But it all, you also see that you don't need someone to come and save you.
Yes. Doesn't it start to explain everything? If there's only one power, and you have it, and you're using it already, doesn't that start to explain everything? The good and the bad? Cancer, volcanoes, gravity, too much, too little? Fires, roses, chocolate, sunrise, sunset?
How so?
What?
How so?
Well,
it's fair love.
Because if there's only one power, then there is love, and there is love everywhere. If there are two powers, we start to have a problem, because you could be experiencing the wrong power or even using it and making a mess of things. Blocking love. But you see, if that's possible, then whatever you use to block love is stronger than love, as I've said. But...
Well, there's that statement somewhere along the way, right, of that our task is to find what's blocking love.
Page 338, love, paragraph love, 6. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. I forget the exact terminology of it.
Yes, yes, yeah. Turn to page 338 in the text. We should look at this all the time.
Okay, help me with the something.
Well, we'll just read it to you because we're going to come right back to this. To this page.
Okay.
But for all of you who have a book, I would like you to go there so you can highlight it. Page 338 in the text, in the front of the book. There's, you know, 3/4 of an inch.
And what is the text number?
This
Sorry.
Is chapter 16, section 4. The illusion and the reality of love. And it's paragraph 6, sentence 1. Jacqueline, what does that say?
Is it the one that says your task is? Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it.
That you,
right. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
That you have built against it. So this is really good news. It didn't say, go trap the devil in his dirty deeds and exorcise him. You need garlic, you need a crucifix, and a little bit of good luck. And make sure that your friends aren't filled with the devil, because then they'll just make you into one. Oh my God! No. This is an inside job. A Course in Miracles is an inside job. There is only one mind, there's only one power, and you're using it right now. You've been called to awake and turn back to light. This is great news, because no matter how much darkness you seem to be witnessing, it is your one mind using the one power. I think it's great news. I think it makes you capable of solving all your own problems. Jacqueline.
Well, what I'm hearing, if there's only one power, that means fear and all those things you listed are love.
Talk to me, baby.
Right? I mean, if
you want to see where it says that? Let's go. Let's see where it says that in the book. Okay. Turn to page 218 in the text. 218 in the text. It's really early.
There's, okay, text chapter.
Yeah, that's going to be chapter, I think, 12, 11 or 12. It's chapter 12. And, yeah, you definitely want to highlight this in your Kindle. And everybody... You have to highlight. If I ever see you in person and this is not highlighted in your book, I'm going to tear the page up. 217, actually. 217. So this is chapter 12, section 1, and it is paragraph 8, basically in the middle of the page. We'll spend a whole night on this paragraph in the two or three that precede it one day, but today's not the day just yet. Actually, we already did a couple weeks ago. Now, sentence 13 encapsulates what Jacqueline discovered in simplicity of truth, that if it's one power, if there's one mind, then fear and anger and love are using the one power, and they must all be the same thing, she said. And I would like to have you jump out of your chair.
I want to find this.
Huh?
I want to find this.
Well, then...
12-1...
12, section 1, and then go into the paragraph that says, by applying the Holy Spirit's interpretation.
8.
Which is paragraph 8. And her paragraphs aren't numbered, so it's...
Oh, yeah, they are.
Well, they are numbered. Oh, good. Paragraph 8. So, Jacqueline, yeah. This should be a celebratory moment for you if you haven't already had this thought. This is huge. This is metaphysics of A Course in Miracles coming to your mind. This is your Holy Spirit saying, celebrate. Here's where it says it for you in black and white. For fear is a call for love in unconscious recognition of what has been denied. Do you see how this one sentence ties love and fear intimately together? It describes fear as not being an entity, but fear is simply the desire for love. Therefore, this is about love. Fear is about love that you're feeling is denied. If you felt love, if you felt patience, if you felt a bunch of trust and honesty and gentleness, you would not be afraid. Obviously, this is what you want. Fear is based on a perceived lack, not a power of its own. Fear is not based on a power to hurt you. There's plenty of situations that you can face because of your abilities that might bring fear to somebody else. Plenty of things in your life that don't cause you fear that might bring fear to somebody else and vice versa.
And it goes further. Can I read what I have out underlined?
Yeah, it's all really good, this page.
Yeah, having taught you to accept only loving thoughts in others, and to regard everything else as an appeal for help, he has taught you that fear itself is an appeal for help.
There it is!
Right there. If only attack produces fear, and if you see attack as the call for help that it is, the unreality of fear must dawn on you, for fear is a call for love.
Thank you, Miley. This These pages, everything on 216 and 217, drain and drill and hammer this point. They're really well worth reading, and it's an awakening. This is what a miracle is.
When I can remember to do this,
can you feel it?
So powerful.
Can you feel
I'm so
it?
Glad you brought it back, because I need this now, and then I forget.
Don't worry, because one day you won't.
Yeah.
And when you do forget, you're not forgetting as long as you did before.
Right. Yeah.
The appetite for fear in you has lessened and lessened and lessened. And the appetite to know that really everything is love right behind every instant of grief. You know this now.
Yeah.
Sure, you have habits, but definitely healing is taking place in you. I've seen it, and I know it. But this is where it's printed in black and white. This is a miracle. This is a miracle about fear.
And now we're in a world of fear.
Well, the world is made for fear. And Jesus called it hate, too. So what is a miracle? What's a miracle? Ross, what is the definition of a miracle? Give me something about a miracle.
That's a change in your thought process.
Yeah! It's a change. It's a shift. It's a change in your thought process and in perception. It's a shift. And so we're having a miracle right now. Thank you, Jacqueline. You have brought it to us to study. It's a major metaphysical premise of A Course in Miracles that behind everything is love. And here's what says it in black and white in a really, really beautiful way to help in relationships. And in your own mind, fear is a call for love. It's an unconscious, right? He gives you a bone. It's okay, all right. So you're unconscious of this, and that's why you're struggling. I get it. So it's an unconscious, but it's still an absolute recognition of the love that's been denied. And we know who did the denying, right? Everybody knows who did the denying? Okay, yeah, you.
Who?
You. That's how it happens, right? And that's the good news. It's all the basis of there only being one power, is you're not a victim to anything. You've just cleverly executed the power to make your world. And because separation was the name of the game, it's on the arches on your way into this world, fear turns out to be a really great tool to keep you here, looking, looking, looking for love, seeking but not finding. Fear is, how do you like that? A definition of fear in one sentence. And it's a really good news. Fear is a call for love. When you look at fear as a call for love, instead of an overt attack that you're afraid is going to happen, or some loss that you believe is going to happen to you, instead, if you see it as a call for love, this is the Holy Spirit saying, remember what I told you on page 217. Anytime you have a difficulty in your mind and you feel fear, step back and say, Holy Spirit, how is this a call for love? Holy Spirit will speak to you. Holy Spirit will show you how what you're feeling is based on a call for love. And immediately the love will start to return to your mind. So good on you, Jacqueline, for bringing that up. It's metaphysics, A Course in Miracles. It comes to you naturally after you go around and around. And then you come back and read the text again and say, oh my God, it was right here. What did I, all that studying, it was right here in one sentence. Yeah.
Underlined, no less.
I know, it's already underlined. God, it must have been one of those Course in Miracles meeting and I just underlined it. Well, I'm telling you, if this is not underlined when I see you in person, I'm taking that page. Yeah, I don't know. It's a fantastic section. It's really, really good psychology there. How much time do we have left? Oh, we got some time. Okay, let's go back to, you got one of my favorite sentences in the whole book, so I had to bring it up. Okay, let's go back to our reading on page 237 in the workbook, lesson 130, Miley.
Okay.
237, and God, it's just so great. Where do we
is this the paragraph that starts with fear has made everything you think you see?
Yes. That's no. Where we are.
Okay.
You want to read that for us?
Sure. Fear has made everything you think you see. All separation, all distinctions, and the multitude of differences you believe make up the world. They are not there. Love's enemy has made them up. Yet love can have no enemy, and so they have no cause, no being, and no consequence. They can be valued, but remain unreal. Oh, hear that? Unreal.
Yeah. They can be read that whole sentence again, because it's such an important comment.
Okay, they can be valued.
They can be valued. Using the power of your mind, which makes your world, and as everybody talked about when we talked about reality after the meditation, you kind of get what you think.
Right, we can desire them, right?
Then you're going to get it, because you're starting to wish for it, you're desiring it.
Yeah.
Because if there's only one power, and it's a creative power, you're going to whip it up. You will experience your thoughts. Because of what you are in truth, you will experience your thoughts. There's only one power, and you're using it right now. Please continue.
Okay, they can be valued, but remain unreal. They can be sought, but they cannot be found.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we will not seek for them, nor waste this day in seeking what cannot be found.
Whoa. That's another metaphysical comment from A Course in Miracles, where it contrasts your ego from your Christ mind, or your unholy pursuit from your holy pursuit. It says the ego's credo is seek, which is very positive, right? It's very active to seek, participatory, on purpose, intentional, volitional, but do not find. It's the basis of living as a body, as an identity, and the ego as an identity. It's not a sin. It's not a sin. You can do this as long as you want. Nobody will be hurt. Don't worry about it. But you're not going to experience true love because that had to be removed in order for you to feel the separate existence. Do we have time to go see that?
What can I ask then is, does that mean everything that causes us to be fear, to be fearful, keeps us from love?
Yes, Luann, categorically and perfectly.
So when I look at anything, and if I find fear there, then it's keeping me from love.
Yes, when you find the fear there, you're looking at the block to love.
Mm-hmm.
When the fear seems real, in other words, you feel it. When the fear manifests, which means it gets larger, when the fear starts to come through you and come out of you in the form of anger, attack, guilt, judgment, when the fear manifests, you're actually going the opposite way of love.
Okay.
Yes.
The fear that makes me the most fearful, which probably keeps me the furthest away from love, is that I'm not going to get through this and understand it some ever.
Well, that would be a story, wouldn't it? That would be actually a dream that you wouldn't get through it. You can also dream the other way,
right?
Which is this, as we say many times in this group, you are one thought away from complete understanding, Luann.
Okay.
Only one.
I think what we've done tonight in this last bit is the thought that is probably going to help me the most.
Pretty significant.
It's pretty significant.
Boiling down fear and all of its cousins. Right, there's really, remember the Course tells us there's only two emotions, love and fear, right in the very first page in the introduction.
Yeah.
It says, but right in that page, it says, what is all-encompassing, love, can have no opposite. So it says it's right there, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That there's only love. That's just one thought. But if that's thought, if you took that thought with you, it's all you would know.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that.
So there was a fellow who was friends or somehow affiliated with Helen, and I forget the man who wrote the book, brought it through.
Yeah, Bill Thetford.
And this guy's whole work was love. He wrote a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear.
Jerry Jampolsky.
Yeah, yeah, and his whole life work is that. From working with them right as they were bringing this book through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jacqueline.
Well, so we're saying fear is a call for love. So if we're experiencing that, somebody's having fear and we're witnessing that and we can go, okay, this is a call for love. But if we're feeling it, we could also say that about ourselves, right? I mean, this is a
call. That's absolutely right.
So somehow this knowing that really it's just love, I don't know, I'm just keep coming back to that for some reason.
Well, for a good reason, because it's one of the most important lessons you could possibly learn, because you can derive the entire Course in Miracles from this one simple concept that allows you to let go of fear as being a separate experience or some kind of an evil or powerful or dirty thing. It's not dirty when it's a call for love. It's beautiful. Fear is an acknowledgement that you want love, and somebody else is yelling at you and screaming at you with their finger on your chest and using four-letter words intermixed with your name. With your Holy Spirit perspective, that is a call for love. It's not an attack. With the ego's perspective, this SOB is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Holy Spirit, this is an opportunity for you to provide love. At least to understand the call for love. It's a whole different way of living your life. It's the difference between a special relationship, which is a competition, and a holy relationship, which is a sharing. But it requires this miracle to diffuse things that would be perceived as fear or guilt,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of its cousins.
Yeah.
So definitely keep coming back to it every single day. Hey, let me just show you one more sentence. Look on page 218, since we were looking at that, just to Jacqueline, just to reinforce how significant this is to A Course in Miracles and to your happiness and to your job waking up from this.
Is that 218 in the text?
Yeah, look at 218. Just turn a page from where we just were. And look at 218, the very next page, chapter 12, and section 2. And look at the title, The Way to Remember God. Does that sound significant? Yeah, would that be a great intensive for us, The Way to Remember God. We could do that for a day. That would be really great. Okay, look at paragraph 1, and I'll just read it for you in interest of time. Sentence 5, middle of the paragraph, it says, the task of the miracle worker, which is Jacqueline. Jacqueline was working miracles for us by saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm listening, and if what you guys say is true, and there's only one power, that means it's all love, even fear. She said that. That's a miracle working. That's changing perception. You spoke your Dharma right there. Okay. So it says, the task of the miracle worker thus becomes to deny the denial of truth. Now you know what forgiveness is. The next time fear comes up and you think it has power over you and that it's all ugly, you're denying the truth of fear. What's the truth of fear, Jacqueline?
Call for love.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Call for love. That recontextualizes all the ugliness of the world, including your own experiences when fear arises in you. You can now look at it from a way that is much less ugly, and the Holy Spirit can help you now because you're returning to love. So you would deny the denial. The denial of truth says fear is real. Mm-hmm. Read it for us, Julie. Julie has something she found.
Oh, no, I was just noticing the next paragraph that it actually talks about power several times. That if you give no power to the fog that obscures the light, it has none.
Mm-hmm.
And for it only has power if the Son of God gives power to it.
Beautiful, right. Very good. Sure enough.
And it says again that all power is of God.
Oh, there's the one power. Thank you, Julie. Good catch. Beautiful. Oh, love it. Great. Okay, let's jump back to 237 in the workbook. And we're going to, short circuit this because of time. So, it's impossible to see two worlds, right? Now we're really getting the feel for this. If one world is of fear and the other is of love, and all you're seeing is the ugliness of fear, you can't see the beauty of love. So, because you're looking at fear. And so you'll find fear. But if you retrain your mind, this is how you listen, when you listen to the Holy Spirit, keyword now, reinterpret what you're seeing in the world. And for tonight, our reinterpretation is, it's a call for love. That's what's really going on. Somebody mugs you, doesn't even know you, mugs you tomorrow and steals your purse and you know, bruises you to get it out of your hands. Horrible thing. If you listen to the inclusive spirit, you can now reinterpret that whole situation. instead of being such a horrible, dangerous attack. You can see the love is even there. Yes? It's waiting for you. The whole rest of your life is waiting for you to now look for the love, look for the love in even the ugliest of circumstances. Okay. Man, how can we skip this? But I want you to look at a couple of things. Considering a miracle and considering the awakening we just looked at in back there in chapter 12, considering that, what is happening when you choose to see the world of love versus the world of fear? How does that look? How does that feel? Turn to page 236, which is just to the left, right? It's right there already open. And Donna, would you read for us paragraph 8?
Where did you go to? I'm sorry. Are we still on 130?
Now we're on 129.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so 8?
Yeah, 8. This is today, what happened.
Today the lights of heaven bend to you to shine upon your eyelids as you rest beyond the world of darkness. Here is light your eyes cannot behold, and yet your mind can see it plainly and can understand.
Okay, now in this situation, I'm going to talk while you're reading and interrupt you, okay, because we're running a little out of time. But in this situation, if you had a mugging and there was blood or there was money involved and there's a court date set and something ugly in the world has happened, you're going to call on your Course in Miracles training and you have the Holy Spirit reinterpret this horrible situation. Please, Holy Spirit, show me the love that's being denied here. And this is, you will have light come to you in that situation that your eyes cannot behold. Your body's eyes are made to see differences, and they're going to see the money problems, they're going to see the blood, they're going to see the law that was, how unfairly treated you, they're going to see all that, your eyes. But we're going beyond that, aren't we? Key word now, beyond. Donna, please continue.
A day of grace is given you today, and we give thanks. This day, we realize that what you feared to lose was only lost.
Ross, would you read for us paragraph 9?
Now do we understand there is no loss, for we have seen its opposite at last, and we are grateful that the choice is made.
Okay, now that's huge. Now the miracle has come into place and changed our reality. Jacqueline has brought it up for us, and we've gone to a place in Course in Miracles and says, hey, look, if you're willing to look at this really heavy deal, I'll show you that the loss that you feared is not loss. It's actually a call for love. And what do you really want anyway? Well, I want love. I just want more love. And then I think everything's going to work out better. Damn straight. So look at this. Now we understand that there is no loss, don't we? Even the ugliest things are a call for joining. And that might be okay. Adjoining, even with I had this happen at my house. I got robbed. They broke into my house. I wasn't here, but they ransacked. They took like $5,000. Every computer they found my brand new tablet. I didn't even take it out of the box yet. But I opened the box so they could see what I just bought, and they took that and the box. You can see I'm over it, right? And they went through, took laptops and stuff. It all upturned and took a pillowcase off my bed and filled it full of stuff and got the cash out of my drawer. I mean, what a score. These guys cleaned me out probably in a couple of minutes. I got to say, it was the strangest thing. I looked at this mess. You know, at first I come home and the door's wide open. I thought, that's unusual. I live in the mountains. It's pretty quiet up here. There's not a lot of disturbance. But my house was hit. And I got to say, when I looked around and saw what they took, I thought, good haul! Whoever this was, they got some relief for a day or two. I mean, that's going to buy whatever it is that they need to make them have a good night's sleep. Drugs or they send their kid away to college, who knows what it is. They're going to have it today. I know, I just didn't feel the loss. I thought somebody had a good day. it's a miracle. It's a shift in perception about what happened. And I just saw my brother, whoever my brother or sister is that ripped off my house, had a really good day at my expense.
Good job, Andrew.
I know, it's amazing, right? It's wonderful. Something to celebrate, actually.
Yeah.
Please continue, Ross.
Remember your decision hourly and take a moment to confirm your choice by laying by whatever thoughts you have and dwelling briefly only upon this. The world I see holds nothing that I want. Beyond this world, there is a world I want.
That's how you do it. You actually do it with the power of your mind, using the one power to choose your reality. And as I like to say, your thoughts are your life. And the Course in Miracles is helping to upgrade our thoughts. It never ends. It never ends. The upgrade never ends, because it all leads to love and manifesting more and more love. Thank you, everybody, for studying Course in Miracles with me. We did a good job. There's so much more that we could study on this, and another day we will.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Good night.
Night.
Thank you.
Good night, Tim.
Blessings, Andrew. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good to see you, Jason. Have a good night.